name was Betty Jane, and she was getting ready to go off to college. And not unlike a number of 18-year-olds who are heading off to college, she was looking for an opportunity to really change some things in her life. And this, to her, seemed like an opportunity to just start some things over again. And so she chose a college 2,000 miles away from her home. She chose a school that was not within her denominational background. See, she grew up as a Mennonite, but she didn't choose a Mennonite school to go to. She also decided that she wanted to kind of have a fresh start when she got to this new school, so she changed a number of different things. She got her hair cut, she got her hair permed, this kind of brunette afro kind of thing going, and she decided to have just kind of a whole new attitude, just go fresh. So she went off to college. She even went by a little different name. She didn't go by Betty Jane. She went by BJ, just chose the initials, BJ, new identity. 4 years after that, I married that girl. And she changed her name again to Beth Gangle. Yes, that was my wife. And she would tell you a whole lot more to that story if you asked her about that opportunity. For her, going off and starting college was a whole new change. Now, actually, that's not that unusual. A lot of times, a lot of us look for those opportunities in life. There's something inside of us, something that kind of bubbles up every once in a while that desires a new start, a do-over, a clean slate. And so that's why a lot of times we're looking for that new job, that new relationship, that new church, a new school, a new place to live, something that will kind of change our circumstances, something that will be new and fresh as a beginning. Because deep down, we're all looking for those adjustments in life occasionally that come through, those opportunities to start again. If we're honest, we're compelled by this idea of transformation, change. And that's our theme for this morning. And the reality is that Jesus Christ offers the greatest, most comprehensive transformation the world has ever seen. So one of the compelling features of Christianity is that it offers us transformation through a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. The heart of Christianity is transformation. So this morning, we're going to take a few minutes and see how this unfolds. What does the Bible tell us about what Jesus does? What is the change that comes in our lives because of Christ? The first aspect of this transformation we want to look at is this truth. Christ can make you into a new creation. Now, as I was preparing for this sermon, I wanted to think through some of these contrasts. And we already sang through some. If you were noticing as we sang the words of some of the songs this morning, we sang some of them. And I was amazed when I started to prepare this list of how many there were. And I'm sure my list is not comprehensive. It's probably a lot more than what's going to show up on this list. I'm going to roll through these pretty quick. If you're in a home group that's following the sermon series, you're going to follow, you're going to get more of this, and you'll see these specifically this week when your home group gets to this. If you'd like these passages and this list, let me know, email me. I'll be glad to share that with you. Here we go. Here's the list. We're going to go through this fast, so hang on. These are the changes. That's the transformation that happens when Christ comes in and creates something new in us. We cross over from death to life. That's the first thing. Cross over from death to life. John, Jesus says that in John chapter 5. The prophet Ezekiel says this, a heart of stone becomes a heart of flesh. We go from being lost to found, Jesus says in Luke 15. He says to the man he heals from blindness that we go from move from being blind to having sight. Paul adds to this, he says, we go from being enemies of God to being at peace with God. He says in Ephesians 2, we change from being aliens to being citizens. In Ephesians 5, we move from darkness to light. In Ephesians 4, we shed the old self, we put on the new self. Galatians 4, we transition from being slaves to being sons and daughters of God. And finally, we go from being burdened to being free, as we just sang about. Galatians 5, Romans 6. All those contrasts describe this amazing transformation in our lives. 2 Corinthians 5:17. uses this phrase, new creation. It's like what Jesus said to Nicodemus in John 3:3. Remember when he's talking to Nicodemus? He says, you must be born again. Rebirth, new creation. That's what this transformation is. That's the promise of Scripture. I want you to see how Paul describes this. Take you to another passage, Titus 3:3 through 6. We'll camp on this one for a few minutes. This is the rebirth described by Paul. At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. Now watch the contrast. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things that we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior. God, by his Spirit, effects this radical change, this new birth in the life of the one who believes. I want to take you to a quote from C.S. Lewis from this well-known, well-loved book, Mere Christianity. How does he describe this change? And this is a book, by the way, if you're just exploring what Christianity is all about, this is a book you need to read, Mere Christianity by C.S. Lewis. If you're a believer, you've already embraced the faith, but you've never read this book, I'd highly recommend that you read this. I love the way he describes this. Here's his quote. God became man to turn creatures into sons, not simply to produce better men of the old kind, but to produce a new kind of man. Christ's work of making new men is like turning a horse into a winged creature. It is not mere improvement, but transformation. There's a change that goes off in a totally different direction, a change from being creatures of God to being sons of God. You get what Lewis is saying here? He's saying we've all been created by God, made in his image, but when we come to him in faith, when we repent of our sin, when we walk into a relationship with Jesus Christ, he receives us as his children. He makes us a son, a daughter of God. We are recreated to be his children, in his family. Theological description of this is positional transformation or positional sanctification. Because what we're talking about here is a status. It's a place that God puts us. It's something he declares about us. When we believe that Jesus died for our sin, he declares us righteous based on the sacrifice of Jesus. And so Romans describes this, Romans 3:22. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. In other words, Paul is saying when we step into faith, we are given a whole new status, a whole new position. We are placed under the righteousness of Jesus. God looks at us differently. Beth and I used to watch this a TV show, Extreme Home Makeover. Maybe some of you love that. This guy, Ty Pennington, and his crew, they would find a needy or hurting family. They would swoop in, and they would send the family on vacation for a week. And during that week, they would totally renovate their house. And when the show started off, if you followed this from the beginning, when they first started the show, it was a major renovation, but it basically was still the same house. You know, they maybe moved some walls and redecorate everything, repaint everything, put some new siding on the outside, but it was essentially the same house. After a while, when the show got more popular and I guess more sponsorships and more money coming in, they didn't try to renovate anymore. It was more like this. They'd get a house like in this picture, and they just bring the bulldozers out. They'd just wipe it out, clean it out, knock it down, take it right down to the ground and start completely over. Not a renovation, a whole new house on the same property. So here's a before and there's the after. A brand new house looks nothing like the old house. A new creation. And that's what Paul's describing. That's what he's saying God does when he comes into our life through salvation. He doesn't just renovate. He doesn't just fix up. He doesn't just add something to our lives. He totally remakes us. We are reborn, a new creation. That's the amazing truth, the amazing transformation of the gospel, the moment of salvation. But it doesn't stop there. This is our second point, because Christ can help you change now. This is not just about a transformation in the past, but a moment in time. That's foundational. That's true. The moment you put your faith in Christ, your position changes. You are a new creation, but for some people, and for some people, there is immediate change. Think about Paul when he's on the road to Damascus and Christ moves in, speaks to him, saves him, and 3 days later, when his sight is returned, instead of being a persecutor of the church, Paul is suddenly preaching the gospel. Instead of hating Christians, he is in love with God, in love with Jesus Christ. And this radical change. But even Paul admits, as you look through his writings, that he's still growing. He's still learning. Paul still has some steps to take. That there is this not so dramatic transformation that takes place slowly over time in our lives. Paul talks about the slow grind of spiritual transformation. That's part of the Christian life. That's what we all enter into, the moment of salvation. So here's what the theological reality looks like. So there is the experience of positional transformation, the moment of salvation, but then God's not done with us. He is continually working on us in what we might call progressive transformation or progressive sanctification. It's an ongoing process. It's an ongoing work of God in our lives. And it's a work that we must be involved in, something we must engage in. I think sometimes as believers, we forget that. I'm saved, I'm good to go, I've got heaven, and we leave it at that, and that's only the beginning. And the Bible is clear that God wants us to enter in with Him into this cooperative process of transformation. It's a beautiful opportunity that He offers to us to become practically what we are positionally. That's what the Christian life is all about. So I want to go to another key passage. This talks about this ongoing transformation. Now to Colossians chapter 3. If you're following your Bible, go there. We'll have it on the screen as well. Colossians chapter 3, verses 5 to 10. Notice what Paul says here. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourself of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Now, I know that's a long passage, but did you catch how Paul is describing this continuous process of transformation? He says, in fact, the new self is being renewed. Now, I want to pull back from that and I say, wait a minute, Paul. If it's new, why does it need to be renewed? Well, because the new self is in process. We are given this new self, and God wants to continually renew and work and grow that new self in us. That's the ongoing progressive transformation that God offers to us. And you notice what he's saying, what Paul is describing for us, is that salvation is not the end goal. Salvation is the beginning. Salvation is the beginning of that transformation process. And so he gives us some direct instructions. Paul says, you need to jump into this. You need to put away this. Rid yourself of that. He goes through these lists of sins, and he says, you need to be working on these things, putting this stuff aside. That's the old life. That's the old you. You need to live like the new you. So here's where we have a problem, though, right? Because we come to this point and we say, yeah, that's great. I love that idea of transformation. God's making all things new. He's changing things. But I know the reality in myself and in others. People don't change. They don't ever really change. Old habits are really hard to break, almost sometimes feeling like they're impossible to break. I don't know if transformation, if we really spoke honestly, we would say, I don't know if transformation really is possible. That's the doubt we have. And I think a lot of times that doubt is based, first off, on our own ability. We don't really feel like we can enter into that process to make any change. And then it's a faith issue. We're not sure if God can really do that in our lives or somebody else's life. And so this becomes really the rub for us as believers, this thought. We want transformation, but we're not sure we really believe it can happen. Here's the reality. Here's what the Bible says, and here's how I think it works. Follow me through this, because if you've put your faith in Jesus Christ, the Bible says, we've just looked at it, you are a new creation, and you have now the power of God's Spirit at work in you to help you gain victory over sin in a way that you never could have before. That's a change. That's something different. That's God living and working in you. That's the new creation. And that's the beauty of the gospel. The reality that God can change people. He can transform your attitudes. He can transform your marriage. He can transform your relationships. He can transform your life. But there's something to it. You don't just say the right words and it just happens. There's a process. Now, what is that? What is Paul saying here? Dig into this. The last phrase of that passage we read in Colossians chapter 3. Paul says this in verse 10. The new self is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. In other words, Paul's saying, as you get to know your creator, savior better, you begin to conform to his image. It's in a relationship with him, in knowledge of him, that we begin to change. Romans 12:2 says this, right? This is a very familiar passage. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Or another version that says, be changed within by a new way of thinking. In other words, Paul is calling us to say, he's saying, think and act like the new creation that you are. Understand who you are in Christ, what he has done for you, what he wants to do continuously in you, and embrace that. Think that, believe that, and act on that. Let me try to show you a little bit, an illustration of what I think this is like. When a med student becomes an intern and then eventually becomes a full-fledged doctor, they get a lab coat, something like this, a white coat. And this I borrowed from Chris Kurtz. Chris, I'm not going to make you come up. I'll just put this on for a moment to show this. You'll see Chris's name on here. Chris is sitting right up front. You don't look much like a doctor in your orange polo shirt here this morning, but when Chris puts this on, there's something that kind of changes. It represents something. Now, I didn't ask Chris for stories. I don't know what happened to him when he was a med student. But I can imagine sometimes, you know, med students are like any students. They're kind of immature. And so maybe there was a time when Chris and his buddies as students would take the gurney and jump on the gurney and run down the hallways, running through the round and making a lot of noise and putting bedpans on their heads. I don't know what all maybe happened then. But when he became a doctor, when he puts on this coat, and Chris is my eye doctor. I've gone to him. So I know he comes in very professional. The examination, the discussion, very personal, but very professional. He's not running up and down, riding on gurneys, bedpan on his head. No, no, he's a doctor now. And putting this coat on carries a certain, there's expectations, there's responsibility that comes. Because the coat represents the profession. It represents who he has become as a doctor. And as you know, getting the coat is not the end. You don't just go through med school and internship and all that stuff just to get the coat. I got the coat. I'm done. No, no, no. It's the beginning of your medical career. Getting this coat, you begin to practice what you have become, right? In fact, if you don't, as a doctor, keep on learning and growing and reading and studying, you don't stay a doctor very long. I had a friend who was an internist, and when he wasn't with patients or with his family, he was reading, continuously reading, researching, because you got to stay up in your field. You got to be ready. You got to fulfill your role as a doctor. You see the metaphor? When you come to Christ, he puts a coat of his righteousness on you. New creation, your position in Christ. And then God says, now let me help you learn how to be a new creation. You gotta get into my word. You gotta get into relationship with me. You gotta walk with me. You gotta learn from me. You gotta study this. You gotta embrace this new identity. Not the old life, the new you. Live in my righteousness because I've put my righteousness on you. Live in my truth because I've put my truth within you. Walk by my spirit because I've put my spirit in you. That's the reality of the transformed life. It's the reality that God wants for every one of us. Put on his righteousness. And in doing so, to learn, to act, to think, to be more and more like Jesus every day. It's a wonderful calling. It's a wonderful promise. And when we truly put our faith in Christ, he changes our heart, giving us a deep desire for change, a desire to walk by the Spirit, a desire to live out this progressive transformation day by day. Yes, sometimes it's slow. Yes, sometimes it's hard. Yes, sometimes we struggle through it, but it is the gift of God to transform us into the image of Jesus. Number three, Christ can completely transform you for eternity. So for me, this is probably the most compelling aspect of Christianity, because deep down, I think perfection is something we all long for. It's something I believe God has placed in us, a longing. In fact, even that we have this concept of perfection, I think shows that we were wired for it. Okay, think about a few examples with me of this. Every pitcher in baseball longs to throw a perfect game, right? And it's not just a no-hitter. That means no hits, but it also means no errors out in the field. It means nobody walked, nobody gets to base the entire game that you're pitching. That's an amazing feat. It's a perfect game. What does every student long for? A perfect score on the test, right? 100%, nothing wrong, A+. That's what every student strives for. Perfection. Don't always get it, but that's what we strive for. What does a bowler go for? Perfect game there too. In that case, it's a score of, any bowlers? 300, yes. It's perfect score. 9 frames every strike, every frame. Get to the 10th frame, you get 3 balls, 3 strikes, you get all strikes, it's a perfect game. We have this innate sense, a desire for something perfect. Even musicians, you ask any of our musicians up here, what a musician desires perfect pitch. To be able to hear in your head that note before it's ever played on a piano or a keyboard. There's this innate desire, longing for perfection, even though it usually eludes us. See, I think God made us to long for and strive for perfection because that's what he intends for us. That's what he plans for us, not in this life, but in the life to come. That's what heaven is all about. So the promise of the gospel is that one day Jesus Christ will transform his followers ultimately, perfectly, eternally. And that is a compelling truth. Philippians 3, verse 20 and 21. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform your lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. That's the promise he makes. And so the truth is, follow me through this. Here we go. Here's where we've gone this morning. We experience positional transformation when we put our faith in Jesus Christ. Throughout our Christian life, we experience this progressive transformation as we daily follow Christ. And one day, we will experience perfect transformation when we are glorified in heaven by Christ. That's the story of transformation. That's the promise of Scripture. A few weeks ago, I walked up to our front door at our house, and I noticed on the bottom of a wooden Adirondack chair on our front porch, a little brown shell, a cicada shell. I remember as a kid running around collecting those, usually find them on trunks of trees and gathering a whole bunch of these things, just amazing to me. And if you know anything about cicadas, they begin in the ground, look like a little brown beetle. They crawl up out of the ground and they go for the nearest tree. They just climb up and attach themselves to the bark of a tree. And then an amazing transformation takes place. Watch this video roll as I describe this. This beetle attaches itself to a leaf, to the bark, somewhere on this tree. And then that shell cracks open, and out crawls this brand new, fresh, green cicada. And this one isn't a beetle crawling out of the ground. This one actually has wings. And no, most often, you never get to see this unless you watch a video like this. But this time, when I walked to our front porch, I saw the shell cracked open, empty. And then on the arm of that chair, I saw the cicada. The one that had just recently crawled out of that shell, still couldn't even fly yet. It was still so wet and green and fresh. It was still drying its wings before it could fly off and sing with all the other cicadas. This amazing transformation that takes place as the wings emerge, the wings begin to expand, and eventually that cicada is able to fly. And I used this illustration a week ago at a funeral right here in this room because it's an amazing picture in God's creation. The promise of resurrection, the promise of ultimate transformation, the promise that one day we will be truly, completely made new. And this old life, this old body will just become a shell and we'll leave it here and we'll go to our life that God intended for us, our real life, our glorified life, our perfect life. And we will stay that way for all eternity. That hope, that promise compels me to follow Jesus. What's compelling about the truth of transformation? First, that Jesus Christ can make you into a new creation. And that can happen today. If you're here and you've listened to this, you hear these scripture passages, say, I don't know that I've ever walked into a relationship with Jesus. I've never put my faith in him. I've never experienced that positional change, a new life, a new creation. That can happen this morning. In just a few minutes when we're celebrating communion, there will be prayer teams at the back. You can go talk to somebody, pray with somebody, and they would love to lead you into that step of receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior and becoming a new creation today. That can be you if that's your need. But maybe you're here this morning as a believer, and you, for you, maybe the message this morning of transformation is that God wants to be at work in you daily. He wants to change you into his image. But you've got to enter into that process. You've got to be willing to say, Lord, I'm willing to patiently walk through this with you and let you work that change in me to make me practically what you intend for me to be positionally. To put on your righteousness and let me live in righteousness. Help me put aside the sin and pursue you. That can be the transformation that you seek this morning. Jesus Christ would love to answer that prayer and work in that cooperative effort with you. And maybe thirdly, the response, the reminder about transformation is that one day Jesus will transform us, give us the glorified bodies and the perfect life that we've always dreamed of. It's not meant to be here. It's in heaven with him. I'm going to close with an amazing story. One that maybe you saw in the news a couple weeks ago. This Syrian refugee crisis, as you know, is a tragedy. It's just, right now, one of the global heartaches. And nearly half of the population in Syria has now been displaced. Imagine that, half the population. They've been streaming into Turkey, Hungary, on into Europe, trying to find some place to land, trying to find a new life. Trying to find life. There's a story that showed up in a news clip a couple weeks ago that really touched a lot of people. They realized the massiveness and the heartbreak of this. There was a father carrying his 7-year-old son right near the Hungarian border, running. And a news camerawoman was out there filming. And as he ran by with his son in his arms, she intentionally stuck out her foot and tripped him. There's a picture of it here. A lot of it, most people saw it on video. It's even more horrifying to see it actually happen. He trips, he falls, the boy begins to cry. It's a heart-wrenching scene. This man's name is Osama Mohsen. There was a soccer coach, head of a academy in Madrid, Spain, who saw that video of that happen. He found out that Osama Mohsen was a professional soccer coach in his homeland of Syria. So he asked a reporter, another investigative reporter in Spain, to try to find him. So he went to Europe and amazingly found Mohsen and his son in Germany And a couple hours later, had them on a plane back to Madrid. In Madrid, this soccer coach and soccer academy met him, and he brought another son with him as well. So it's Mohsen and his two sons. Brought them in, gave them an apartment near the academy, offered him a job. It's going to help him get asylum in Spain. Is helping him learn Spanish, is bringing his wife and two daughters who are stranded somewhere in Turkey to Spain to be regathered as a family and to begin a whole new life. And talk about transformation. I mean, one day this man is fleeing for his life as a refugee with his son in his arms, and the next day he is being given a whole new life and a whole new place. What a picture of the gospel. What a picture of what God has done for us. Because we, by ourselves, in our sin, are stranded, lonely, wandering refugees without a place, without a home. And God steps in, and he offers to bring us to himself, to bring us to his family, to give us a new life, a new identity, to let us start again. That's the compelling gospel of transformation.